it was crazy to me because I would tell someone a vision and they would cry or just be like, that's exactly what I was asking God to give me an answer on. It kind of scared me at first because I was like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I didn't understand it. Like, I was the anxious person that couldn't even figure out my own self, let alone now I'm getting these clear visions for other people.
I'm Adira Polite, and this is Then God Moved. Hello, I hope y'all enjoyed last week's episode featuring Strawn Coleman. That was a very special episode to record. This week we'll have a pretty different vibe, a little bit more lighthearted, as it features my friend Natalie Jones. I met Natalie last summer in Israel. She was actually one of the leaders of my tour group, and we became fast friends. She has an amazing testimony of overcoming anxiety and uncovering her prophetic giftings. We also talk about a lot of other things in this episode, including her very God-led story of meeting and falling for her boyfriend, who she will no doubt marry. All of this to say, Natalie is awesome. I love her, and I'm sure you will too. So, we talked a little bit on the bus about your faith. I feel like you just struck me as someone who is led by the Lord, because a lot of people say that they are in relationship with God, but they're kind of just their own pilots. They're doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. And you, when you talk about things going on in your life, especially your boyfriend, it's just very obvious that you look for God's prompting. And I think that that's really encouraging and convicting, I think, for some people, including myself. So it would be cool if you talked a little bit about how you met the Lord, and then we could talk about what led you to Israel and then what you've been up to since then.
Yeah. I grew up in the church. My parents actually met in church through their young adults group. So I kind of was just around it growing up. It was around fourth grade when I started getting mentored. That kind of led me into a few years of just kind of figuring out more of like what that means to know God. And then when I was like 13, 14, I started studying the Bible more in depth. And then I got baptized. That was cool. I was like, okay, I really want to know the Lord. But I was really anxious. I feel like that's always been my thing I've struggled with. I think I remember having my first panic attack when I was like 7. Wow. I don't know if I just put a lot of pressure on myself or like what it was, but I had this really intense feeling that like everything depended on me a lot. And so when I started getting to know God, it was like, there was this other person that was actually controlling things. And I think that was relieving to know, but it was still really hard to trust in. So I was kind of always that like overachiever person. So I'm like, okay, I love the Lord now, but I'm still really stressed and anxious. And I was like overdoing it. I was taking all the AP classes and the extracurriculars. And I was just like, I love the Lord, but I don't really like trust the Lord. And so like, I had this really bad panic attack at like senior year of high school. I just remember telling my parents, like, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I need help because something's just not working. Like I'm trying to lean on the Lord or whatever, but it's just not cutting it for me. And so that was when I started therapy. And that was because I actually had a really bad panic attack in college. I remember just having this breakdown and they had to like wheel me downstairs to this, like the case manager.
Wait, they had to wheel you on your college campus to someone on your campus?
Yeah. So I was in the like health center.
Okay.
College campus. And I was there for like a doctor's appointment. And I had just gotten like some really stressful news in my life. And I had this really bad panic attack to where the nurse left for a second and I was in the bed. And I just couldn't get up. Like I was like physically paralyzed. And she's like, okay, let's go have you talk to someone downstairs. And I was like, I literally can't get up because I'm so paralyzed in fear right now. They like put me in a wheelchair, took me downstairs. And I talked to this lady that connected me to a Christian therapist. She's the best. I still see her to this day.
Wow. So that was how long ago? This was your freshman year of college?
4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And I started seeing her on a weekly basis, where before I was seeing a therapist like once a month. And during that time, I just kind of started working through all my thought processes and things that had become like trauma to me because I just hadn't worked through them. And that kind of really started to allow me to see the kindness of God, where I think before I saw him as more authoritative and just like, you need to do this. Like, I need to see your works. You can earn my love, basically. And I feel like doing therapy showed me this like kinder side of God that I didn't really know before.
Mm.
So did that. And then in college, I got connected with a church plant out there. So I ended up helping plant a church. Yeah, it was super cool. I had done a pageant. It was Miss Teen Long Beach.
What?
Mrs. Long Beach.
Natalie, what?
Yeah, Miss Teen Long Beach 2017.
Okay.
And that's how I met Mrs. Long Beach, who she was doing a church plant with her husband. And so I became a launch team member. I had never seen like kind of a grassroots beginning of like a let's start something for the Lord here because we feel called to.
Yeah.
I ended up like getting to recruit a bunch of people from Cal State Long Beach to be on the worship team. It was totally the Lord because I had never done anything like that before. And so I think just seeing their faith of like the Lord can move and is alive and active today just really encouraged me to start seeing my faith as something that doesn't have to be just something I reflect on or see as like, oh, it's great. Miraculous things happened in the past, but started to see like miraculous things can happen now.
Mm-hmm.
When I started learning about the power of prayer, prophetic visions and dreams, and I was really encouraged by that.
Did you experience prophetic visions and dreams yourself?
Yes. Yeah, so my spiritual gifts is prophecy.
Ooh.
And it's something I've learned over the years, but yeah, we would have these like Sunday night house church things. And we'd practice intercessory prayer and worship. And I started getting these like visions for other people.
Wait. You got to break that down for most people because well, a lot of non-believers probably are like, what is that word? What does intercession even mean?
Yeah, intercession. It's like where you basically pray, worship on behalf of another person.
Right.
So like, say I'm praying and worshiping, I'm interceding for someone. It's kind of like you're praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
But you're asking God, like, Lord, give me visions. Give me the power to pray for this person. Something they don't even know they need prayer for or need a vision for. But help me to see it for them because I want to be there for my brother or sister in Christ. Like, I want to encourage them. And so, yeah.
A plus, Natalie.
Yeah.
So you were praying, you were worshiping on behalf of somebody, and you started to have visions, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was crazy to me because I would tell someone a vision and they would like cry or just be like, that's exactly what I was asking God to give me an answer on. Mm. And I'm like, it kind of scared me at first because I was like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I didn't understand it. Like, I was the anxious person that couldn't even figure out my own self, let alone now I'm getting these clear visions for other people. Mm. I was like, this is totally the Lord. And then it was crazy because then I was around these other prayer warriors too that were getting visions for me. And like, they could sense my anxiety that I was like, honestly, kind of hiding at that point pretty deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, I know you feel overwhelmed. I know you feel burdened, but like God is with you and like he's going before you and he's guiding you. He's going to use you in big ways. And I'm like, what does that even mean? All I knew is it gave me comfort, you know, that I was like, wow, I literally have not talked to this person ever about this battle that I faced privately, but the Lord has somehow told them what I'm going through and has also given them a word of encouragement for me to keep pushing through in this season, you know?
That's really awesome. I honestly don't know what the difference is or if there is a difference between the giftings called a word of knowledge.
It's like
a word of knowledge and prophecy or like visions, whatever, because I have also experienced words of knowledge where God tells me something about someone that I shouldn't technically know. And then I say something to them about it, like, hey, are you okay? Like, are you struggling with XYZ? And they're freaked out. And they're like, how did you know that? I'm like, it's the Holy Spirit. And I love it because a couple times now, God has told me things about people who do not follow him. And I've had the opportunity to tell them, like, God told me this about you. And, like, he sees you. It's just such an, honestly, it's a really strong evangelism tool, honestly. Because, like, whether you're a believer or not, to hear from another person who you can see, because for so many people, the blockage to belief is, well, I can't see this God. And it's like, well, there are people you can see who God works through, and he speaks to us, and he sends us out on your behalf. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like a lot of people are like, show me the like physical proof. And it's like, well, I'll tell you, I know this strange thing about you, and I don't know who you are. So
it sounds so creepy. It probably sounds so creepy. It's like, well, I know things about you, but it's just it's true. So like, as you were experiencing this, as you were like, having visions, and did you have like mentors who were able to be like, yeah, that's what this is, like, this is prophecy, this is that, here's like what you're supposed to do with that?
So my pastors at the time, they'd come from the International House of Prayer. They were like super rooted in that because they spent like years learning about intercessory prayer and worship. And they were just kind of like encouraging me to keep praying and like getting guidance from the Lord. I feel like it kind of led me to start talking about my faith more. I used to be more afraid to share my faith. I don't know. I just saw it very logically, I guess. And then I started seeing faith as this like Holy Spirit powered thing. And I was like, okay, well, if this Holy Spirit is like moving and active in me, and I'm like, I'm experiencing this peace and this love through God, through the communities placed around me, like, I want more people to know about this. Cause like, I've been in the church and like, it's all I've kind of known, versus like, suddenly I had this deep feeling for like the people around me that I was like, they don't know this love, you know, they don't know this peace and this joy that comes in being in community and like learning more about your spiritual gifts or like, you know, different areas you can help. And then I started kind of ministering to people around me, like my coworkers, people I lived with in the dorms.
What did that look like? Like when you say ministering or just like sharing?
Yeah, I feel like building relationship first, you know, just being friends with people I genuinely wanted to be friends with, but then also like sharing just what was making me joyful in the day, which was like God, and seeing how they were encouraged by that. So like for me, like I lived in the dorms all 4 years, mostly working as a resident assistant, and people that were passing by in the hallways, I would talk with them about how they're doing. And then I would also invite them to my church. And I started feeling less afraid of no's, you know? Nah, that's not for me. I'm like, okay, that's totally fine. And then you just ask someone else. And I ended up having like a solid crew of people that ended up saying yes and coming. And I was like, wow, like that's totally the Lord. Like I was the scared person that didn't want to talk to anyone because I was very shy, honestly, growing up. Yes, I was. I was very shy because I was so anxious.
But yeah, I was going to say because of anxiety.
Yeah. Suddenly I was like, wow, people are like coming together around Jesus. And I was like, it's literally not me, but it's the Lord bringing these people together. And I started seeing people that were like giving their lives to the Lord. And two of the people that I lived in the dorms with ended up coming regularly, serving at our church. And they got baptized. And I was like, whoa, like, it was crazy. I remember like crying that day because I was like, what is going on? Like, this is not me. Like,
the context also that it was, this isn't like the Bible Belt. This is California. Like, I'm sure this was a campus where you even sharing your faith was probably like, I mean, you said you were nervous to do it, but I can't imagine doing that on a secular California campus.
I went to Cal State Long Beach. It was kind of scary to be a Christian for a bit, you know, where you don't know how people are going to kind of clump you into like the stereotype of Christian, you know, like, one of my big things was I was just trying to change how people saw Christians. It's like, I deeply apologize for anyone who's been hurt by Christians who aren't loving, mm-hmm. you know? Because it was my dream and my personal vision to go to a Christian college. I don't want to be on the secular campus. But honestly, I think it helped strengthen my faith and also increase my compassion for people who don't know the Lord. And I remember after my friends got baptized and my pastor, his wife, they co-pastored together, pulled me aside and was just like, Natalie, like, you have this like gift of evangelism. And I was like, me? I was like, mm-hmm. no.
Is that obviously? She was literally pointing at the fruit and being like, oh, yeah. You're gifting.
It just scared me so much. But I was just like, I was so encouraged. And I was like, okay, you know what, Lord? If you're going to use me to bring people to local church, that's just going to be a testimony to you because it scares me. And so I was like, okay, this is just going to be my role. And I started developing like a passion for people to experience life in the church mm-hmm. and to give their lives to God through the local church.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then after college, I came back home and I'd been praying for a church in my area in Riverside. I just didn't have a ton of like young adults. It was only me and my sister at the church I grew up in. And so I ended up, well, the Lord guided us to Crossroads. It's a really great church that we found a college young adults ministry. It was totally God how we ended up there because my dad found it like online. We checked it out. And I remember the very first day we went, it was like a worship night. And the young adults pastor at the time came up to me and was just like, I'm so encouraged by your worship. Can you be on my leadership team? And I was like, what? I was like, I've never been here before. And I was like, again, I was just like, this is crazy. Like, what's going on? I was totally ready to like hang out in the back and just kind of see where the Lord guided over time. But it was like 2 weeks later, I joined the leadership team. But this was also like January 2020. And so we didn't know the world was like about to shut down and everything. Mm-hmm. So I was there for like 2 months and then everything went online. I was like, okay, here we go. I just found this church, but now we're all isolated. I was just like, okay, Lord, you have me and my sister here for a reason and let's go with it. So we started doing watch parties. We started just interacting with the online community. And then we came back. And it was hard kind of, you know, restarting in the fall. Pastor Noah was like, I feel like we have a calling for you now. Can you restart our whole greeting team? And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. The entire greeting team?
Yeah. So like all the people that would like welcome people in, me and my sister were like, okay, let's pray about it. He asked us to pray for a number of people that we needed on the team. We needed like 40 people to do what we wanted to do, like having people on go-karts, people holding signs, people intentionally seeking out community amongst people showing up, people guiding others to their seats in the room. And we're like, okay. So we prayed about it, started kind of hosting local things in our house to like build community, worship nights, praying together. And we ended up building the team up to like the 40 people we needed.
Mm-hmm. You're forgetting an important part of this story, Natalie.
What?
That you met your boyfriend through this.
I did. Yes. Yeah. That was how I met him was I was literally looking for like a social dude. And I saw that he was one of the most consistent guys that was social. And he said yes. And he helped me build the team with my sister. That was kind of how we got to know each other through that.
For the listeners, Natalie and her man will be back on after they get married because they have an awesome story. She told me like in the middle of a market in Israel, but their story is awesome. And like, it's interesting. We're talking about prophecy because it involves that, at least on his side.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. I know that's like a whole nother thing.
That's a whole nother wing. You know, what's so interesting is that God gave you this gift, one for bringing people into the local church, but also the gift of prophecy. It's interesting thinking about your youth and how you, like, you were having these panic attacks that came on because of information mm-hmm. that was coming to you. and relationship, I assume. And it's like, then God makes that like the center of your ministry. That's so fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like literally experienced that concept of like, God will use your weakest area to bring the most glory to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just didn't understand it till I experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Lord, I feel like I got these other strengths. You want to use one of those?
He's like, no.
Let's use this area that's really hard. And I feel like he keeps doing that over time to different degrees. Like now, just recently, I felt the Lord call me to start a prayer team, an intercessory prayer team. That was wild too, because someone in our church had had this vision of like, hey, I think something that would take our ministry to the next level would be if someone would start praying during the entire service. And I was like, that's a great idea. Someone should do that. That's great.
Not me.
Someone else should do that. I think that's a great idea. And then I remember I was reconnecting with another one of my friends that was a prayer warrior. And she came to a service one time and we started praying. And I just remember like the Lord told me clearly, he was like, five people are going to give their lives to the Lord right now. And I was like, okay. And two people came up and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pastor came up and he's like, I just feel like there's more people out there that need to come forward. And then two more people came up. And then I was like, then I was praying. I was like, where's the one person, Lord? Bring them forward. And then the one girl came and I was like, what?
Wow.
And it was like five people went up and gave their lives to the Lord through like prayer. Because they always encourage us to pray as believers for people to give their lives.
Mm.
So then I remembered what Pastor Steve had said about looking for someone to do that. I was like, can I do it next week? And so me and my friend Jolie prayed for the whole service, like 2 hours, just like in the background. And eight people came up and gave their lives to the Lord.
Wow.
It was crazy. Like prayer was just so abstract to me. Like I was like, this is not real. Like, you know, but after that happened, I was like, this is real. We can intercede for people to give their lives to the Lord. And then I started getting more and more people that were like, I'll serve on the team. I'll serve on the team. And I was like, okay, maybe this will be like a once a month thing we do. We do it every week. And even just last night, we had a married couple that came and prayed with us. And we had two more people give their lives to the Lord. It's crazy how like that was just something I did not honestly really fully believe in the power of until I started seeing it. It's just crazy how the Lord really moves your heart in that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's also like the way that God basically like stamped his name on it also by telling you the number, by being like five people are going to come to faith in me. And then that exact thing happening. So you, because I feel like the enemy will often try to make you think, oh, it's just a coincidence. Mm-hmm. Just that we happen to pray this time. And God literally was like, no, that this thing you're praying for, I'm going to tell you what the outcome's going to be. And then the outcome is like, wow.
Exactly. Wow. I think that's exactly it. I think a lot of times we think, oh, it's just a coincidence. That's like the easiest thing to disqualify prayer sometimes from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think the Lord knew. Unfortunately, I needed that in my brain to feel confident in it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, after that, I didn't doubt it. Now I feel it. Like I'm like, you're working on this one person.
Mm.
I'll get like sometimes names of people or like a storyline of someone that I feel compelled to pray for. And I believe I'm breaking through chains for that person when I get that.
Amen. You definitely are.
Yes.
That's so cool.
It's cool too, because it is hard. It is hard when you're on your own. And you just feel like the enemy keeps isolating you and telling you there's no way out. But when you know that there's people in your life that love the Lord that you can lean on and share the things that make you feel so ashamed, and to have someone just hug you and say, there is no condemnation in Christ, and just pray over you and love you, it's like the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It is.
It really is. Honestly, yeah. I almost cried as you were talking because I was picturing our group in Israel, like worshiping on the Sea of Galilee. I will never forget that. I will never forget. There's so many memories from this trip that I will truly never forget. And I, no words, like the way that God, also just the way that God brought certain people on our bus, like, and they have very similar passions. It's just crazy that on that bus of 33 people, there were multiple people who had the same, at some point they felt that same pressing of the Lord to do what I'm doing. It's so awesome how God uses community to encourage us. And it's like, this walk is never meant to be done alone, but so many people do it on their own, which is why I love that your focus also is on the local church, because not just getting people to know Christ on their own, like, because I feel like a lot of people kind of just encourage people to, oh, like, go read your Bible by yourself. But it's like, no, get plugged in. Like, find a community of people who will show you who Christ is. Do it with others.
Yes.
It's really important.
It is.
Grateful I feel like for what you're doing.
I'm grateful for what you're doing. Really? You are sharing testimonies of people. It does what we've experienced on our bus in Israel. It brings that community closer. And when someone can hear even one person's testimony and be like, I've experienced that before too. They're like, I'm not alone. And the Lord is like seeing me in this moment, you know? And that's something I loved about our bus as well, was that specifically our bus, everyone was from different parts of the country. And no one knew each other. Wasn't it cool how quickly we connected because of Jesus?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. No, like, actually insane. Like, I was looking around at that final dinner and looking at the other buses where everyone already knew each other, and then our bus, you would never be able to tell that our bus started off as strangers, ever.
Yes.
We were like all dancing and screaming and laughing, and it was just like, wow. And even our driver said, I've never seen this happen like this before. Like, he was like, y'all all started off as strangers and now y'all can't shut up. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, honestly, because I started off being like, oh, like, this should be fine. But, you know, I was kind of guarded. I was kind of like, I'm not here to like make my best friends. I'm here to just see Israel and spend time with the Lord. And no doubt the best part of that trip, it was the people. Period. Like, I saw amazing stuff, and but it was like the people and the conversations I had are what I will never forget. And also the way God moved through people on our bus to get me into the right posture for some of the really transformative experiences I had. Like, one of the craziest experiences I had there.
Oh yes.
The Church of the Holy Sepulcher. That's basically the spot, according to tradition, where Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected. And there's this little kind of like a tent inside of it that you have to wait in this really long line to go in. And inside there is what they believe is the tombstone that was moved when Jesus was resurrected. And I don't know what's going on with me, but I was kind of like, I don't really want to wait in that line. And so I was like, I'm going to like go look around the church and like do everything but wait in that line. And then I'm going to go shopping after that. I was just kind of like, I don't know if I even believe that that's the tombstone. Because mind you, for the listeners, earlier that day, we went to this other site that's also proposed by some archaeologists to be the site where Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected. So there are like a few spots in Jerusalem. It's complicated. And so I was kind of like, I don't know if I really want to see this crazy long line and touch this stone that may or may not be the tombstone. Like, I literally was like, well, like, the presence is everywhere. I was like, I'm going to go about my business. I run into Henry. And Henry is like, you should really go in there. He was like, it's a really, really holy site. And I was like, okay. So I go and I wait in the line. He also was like, I brought my Bible and I recommend you do the same thing so you can like consecrate it. You can touch your Bible onto the tombstone. And dude, I go into that room. Well, first of all, it's the whole thing is a crazy God story. I probably will edit this out of the podcast because I'm just telling you the story because I feel like it.
No, I like but, this.
It was, dude, it was, I'm in the line. There are these people pushing like to the front. They're like touching everyone and being kind of obnoxious. So I was kind of annoyed. So I like stepped to the side because I didn't want to be in front of them. I was like, y'all can just go, honestly. And then there's this other family between me and those other people. And for some reason, I felt the need to let that family go in front of me. I just like felt this little nudge. I just told them like, hey, go in front of me. So I'm in front of this other family. We get into the like little holding area. Did you go inside?
I didn't actually go inside. I went inside my very first time, but not into that lower spot.
Okay. So there's like that little holding area where you're like waiting to go into the small, it's kind of like a chapel, like tiny, tiny, tiny space. And for some reason, I turn around, and this is how so many things with God work in my life, where I just like say random things, and then only in hindsight do I realize that God was operating. Because I just let the family go in front of me. I just felt the need to do that, and then felt the need to ask the family behind me, like, do you mind if I go in by myself? They didn't speak English. I literally like signed it. I was like, can I go in just myself? And they're like, yeah, go. And because most people were going in really, really fast, like you had like 20 seconds maybe. And I go in, dude, I have never felt the presence of the Lord as thick. It was like thick. And
what?
I went in there with my Bible in one hand, my phone in the other. I was going to just like touch my Bible to the thing, take a picture and keep it pushing. I walk in and I'm like overwhelmed, like shaking, fully shaking. I like get on my knees and I'm like, my hands are shaking. I'm like trying to touch the tombstone, can barely even like do that. I'm just sobbing. God, it was like Jesus in the flesh was in that room. Like it was insane. It was insane. And it was also so amazing because, I mean, before the trip, of course, I'd prayed like, God, like I want to experience you in new ways. And like, I hear from the Lord very clearly. So I wasn't really expecting anything crazy. I just figured, but that was something I have never experienced. And it was such a God thing that it happened there, because the Church of the Holy Sepulchre has been like very high on my bucket list forever. And it's so interesting how by the time we got there, I guess because we'd seen so many sites, I was kind of mentally checked out. Like I was like, this is cool. But like, and then God used Henry to be like, no, you need to go in that room. And then I go in that room and it was like, God was waiting for me. He was like, hello, like, let me remind you. Cause the only other time that I felt his presence that strongly where I was like almost paralyzed was when I first became a Christian. The summer I first became a Christian, I like recognized, I believed in 2016. I was like, I feel this presence, like there is a higher power. And that is like the last time that I felt just so tangibly his presence.
Yep.
And it's like, God already knew he was going to do that. But it just felt like such a gift that he did it in that space that I knew was a sacred space before we got there. And then by the time we got there, I was kind of desensitized to it.
Wow. Ah,
it was amazing.
That's incredible, dude.
Yeah, it was so awesome. It was so awesome. It's just such a picture of how community works.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't have happened had I not talked to Henry, but God used to encourage me to go inside. So
yes, that's cool. That's so encouraging.
Yeah, dude.
Like, just to know, it's so much of our heart posture, you know?
That is so true. And also, again, the role of testimony, because it was literally Henry sharing his testimony, being like, he didn't tell me anything crazy. He didn't say anything like specific, but he just said, you should go inside. It's a holy place.
Dude, this is cool. I feel like I'm having some light bulb moments.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. Then God moved.
This is cool. Even talking about Israel, just, I went the first time in like 2019.
Right. You went in 2019 as a student on the same program that I went on. Yes.
Yeah. I remember because we had that deep talk by the Jordan, or on our way to the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
About what? We had so many deep talks.
I know. We were talking about baptism. Yes.
Share your story.
Yeah.
Wait, let me give them some context. On this group trip, every time they take all the students to the Jordan River, which is the site where Jesus was baptized, and they give us the option to be baptized. And so I got baptized, and on the way to the Jordan, Natalie shared her story of baptism with me, which is a crazy story.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. When I went to get baptized, this was the second time I was getting baptized, but honestly, it kind of felt like the first time I was really like fully recommitting to the Lord, because I had just like kind of given my life to the Lord a few months prior, even though I had been baptized previously. So for me, it kind of felt like the beginning of a deeper season with the Lord, getting baptized. Mm-hmm. And I'd also been dealing with a lot of anxiety at this point. And so I was just really nervous, but I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. This is going to be good. It's going to be great. But I was also really scared because I was like, I don't know any of these people. And it was like day two being in Israel. Yeah. We were strangers, you know? Yeah. So I was like, I really don't know anyone here. But I was like, I'm going to get baptized. And I knew that I had a friend who was there at the same time studying abroad in Israel. And I'd really wanted her to come to my baptism. But like, we just hadn't talked. I was still kind of jet lagged and just hadn't contacted her. But I knew she was just in Israel somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know where. And so our chaplain at the time, who kind of is like our leader of spiritual life and the person who baptized us, he asked us to share our testimonies before we got baptized. And so I remember getting in the water and I started sharing like my whole heart with strangers, sharing how I dealt with anxiety and all this stuff. But I really felt the Lord had just come through for me. And I cried. I was like, and then I got baptized and I was just like, whoa, like, even though I don't know these people, they know Jesus. And that's what connects us. And I was like, that's enough for me, Lord. Thank you. Walked out of the baptism waters. And who is there except my friend from America who was in Israel? I had no idea she was there, but it turns out she had been touring that area of Israel that day. And they just happened to go to the same spot on the Jordan that I was getting baptized at. And she heard someone say, like, come on down, Natalie. She walks down the stairs and hears the entire testimony I just gave. Mm-hmm. And she was like, that's my friend. By the time she comes over and I'm walking out of the water, that's the first time I see her. And I just really burst into tears there because I just felt so seen. God, why are you doing miracles for me here? I had come to peace with the fact that no one I knew personally was going to see that, but that it would be for the Lord. And he was still like, I'm going to bless you with someone from home that's going to be here for that.
Wow. That is just so, the sovereignty also of God to get her to that spot at that exact Wow.
Yeah. Amazing seeing God just do stuff like that. And I feel like that was that whole trip for me. That first time in Israel was just like these God moments that I was like, you don't have to do anything, Lord. Like you were saying, I'll just be here, experience it. That's what I signed up for. Any extra stuff is, it's fine. I don't need it. Mm-hmm. And it was just the community. I was in awe of it, in awe of how the Lord was doing stuff personally. And while I was there, that's when I had probably the most tangible experience with the Lord in my life was when we had a worship night in the basement of a hotel in Israel. Okay. Literally, it was like so random. We had people that were really musical and wanted to do it. And we had like two or three of the buses that came together and just started singing worship music for 3 hours. Yeah. And we're just singing. And then like after 2 hours, like a lot of people left. And then for another hour, five of us just did a cappella without a guitar. And I'm crying. And I was just like, this is heaven. And it was just great to see the Lord moving in that. And I was just like, this is what we can have anywhere. It just amazed me because I was expecting to come to Israel and like have an encounter at like a site or something. And I was like, the place I had the most powerful experience was in this random hotel basement with the body of Christ, where the Holy Spirit lives always.
Amen.
It taught me that you can experience God like that wherever you are in the world.
Where two or more are gathered, there I am among them, says the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
There was no planning that went into this interview. And yet we have strong themes in this conversation. Like community, God's sovereignty. I feel like community is the big piece, which honestly makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. I love this. The Lord is wonderful and just in awe of how he brought us together, you know?
Me too.
Dude, I loved all our chats on the bus, bro.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like whenever I'd get a solid laugh from you, I was like, I'm doing something good.
Oh, that's so sweet. Wow. Natalie, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful.
I'm grateful for you.
Is there anything else you'd want to share with a non-believer or a believer?
I'd say that the Lord loves you more than you could ever imagine, more than you could ever experience love from a human. And there's nothing that could keep you from that. There's no shame you feel, nothing that you've done that's too dark for the Lord to love.
Amen. It's a very real reality. I feel like so many people have heard those words and it doesn't click for them. So I pray that whoever is hearing this has ears to hear.
Yes.
I'm so excited to share this. People in our group are going to be listening to this. They're going to be the first ones.
Oh!
They're so excited.
Shout out to our bus. I love you all. Seriously, the way you guys just had such open hearts. And honestly, this is going to sound so weird. I feel like I felt more peaceful experiencing Israel the second time while leading it than I did the first time.
That's interesting.
Which is crazy. And I think it's honestly because of one, prayer, but then also you guys just made it so smooth and were so loving towards each other and me and Elizabeth and the whole leadership crew. Honestly, I wasn't expecting to connect with the sites like I did this time because I didn't connect with them as much the first time. But it was weird. I was like experiencing the sites through your guys' eyes. And also I feel like the Lord was showing me things through the sites that I didn't experience the first time. Yeah. So thank you.
That's awesome. I'm glad you felt that way about our bus because it felt very special. And someone who doesn't know what you're up to might not understand the weight of what you're saying, but you had a huge responsibility. So for, you, for you to be feeling peace throughout that says a lot because you had a lot to do.
But yeah, you guys were amazing. Well, have a good day, Atira.
Thanks, I love you. Michael. I love you.
And I'll have to chat later.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Love you.
Bye. Thank you.